right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we now know our NCAA tournament bracket and the Hoosiers with the 5 seed in the East. And a difficult-looking journey ahead of them, as you would expect. It is NCAA tournament time. It's not supposed to be easy, but I think many people thought Indiana might get above a 5. They end up at a 5 seed and face off against Chattanooga on Thursday night. And if they win that, they get the winner of Stony Brook and Kentucky. And if they win that, they probably have to face North Carolina. So it is a hard draw, as you would expect. It would not be easy, but maybe particularly hard. Who knows? It all has to play out. But part of the reason the Hoosiers are a 5 seed is their performance on Friday afternoon, at noon, in fact, against Michigan, losing 72-69 with a pair of last-minute threes, one at the buzzer, doing them in. And Glass, going back and watching this game, it was certainly not the best performance you've seen of the year out of the Hoosiers. I didn't think it was anything from a standpoint of not being into the game. It wasn't an effort thing to me. 4 three-pointers, 4 of 17 three-pointers. We know this team has to shoot and has to shoot from outside to stretch the floor and has to make shots, I think, to just gain its own confidence. But when you look at that, if you're going to come up against a team that you already beat once and beat handily and then allow that team to stick around in it when you're a 1 versus an 8 seed, I don't think a lot of people can be too terribly upset at a 5 seed. Is it a little low? Maybe. But don't you still have to go out and beat somebody anyways?
Yeah, let's start with Michigan, because that is a team, Dave, that Indiana handled unbelievably well in Ann Arbor. 28-0 run. We saw it encompass the end of the half, almost 10 minutes into the second half, where Michigan just didn't score. And whether there's three things that jumped out at me in that game, and number one is the shooting. When Indiana doesn't shoot the three ball well, very rarely do they win. The only team they beat not shooting the three ball very good was a bad Minnesota team. That was it. Now on their home court, that's point number two.
And held them to the same percentage.
That's right. And point number two is, this isn't their home court anymore. This is a neutral site game. Any of you that listen to the radio broadcast with Joe, Don, and Eric, Don said right when the final whistle happened, here we go again. It's the same hoodoo at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. If for whatever reason Indiana doesn't shoot it very well there, well, I don't know how they shoot at the Des Moines Coliseum or wherever they're playing. So they've got issues.
How much history we have.
Right. And the third part of that as well, turnovers reared their ugly head again. And maybe it wasn't the volume of it totally, but what it did is it gave Michigan extra possessions, and Indiana was the largest lead of the game. You can go back to these games when they didn't play very well at Penn State. Their largest lead was 4. Would they shoot from 3-point range? 3 of 15.
Yeah.
What was their largest lead against Michigan?
5.
Would they shoot from 3-point range?
4 of 17.
4 of 17, and they had big turnovers in that game as well. So these are things that have come back that you think were put to bed. But again, the hardest thing that has been the sale for Indiana is when it's not on the court at Assembly Hall. Hey, when they played Iowa, folks, that Iowa team had lost 4 or 5. Well, they weren't flying. Indiana took care of business and did what they had to do. But what I saw in that game that bothered me a little bit was they looked like they had pressure on their shoulders. That was the first number one team not to win in the Big Ten quarterfinal since 2003, Wisconsin. That's a long time ago, Dave.
Yep.
One seeds win that a lot. And you saw open shots being passed up by guys that should shoot them. Mm-hmm. You saw guys hesitant making decisions against a Michigan team that doesn't defend anybody, Dave. We know that. The hesitation in the play and in the end of game situation, again, the ball didn't go to Yogi Ferrell. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what stuck out the worst. And this is not a blame game. We'll talk about Tom Crean's comments and what he thought after the game about how things played themselves out. But when Yogi Ferrell isn't making the plays in the final minute, you've got to really start to ask, why is that happening? Because he's a senior. He shoots it unbelievably well from the line, and he's hit every big shot. He's taken every big shot, hit a lot of them.
And hit a lot of
them. In his time here at Indiana, and it seems like we forgot what to do on defense. We forgot what to do on offense. We forgot. We don't do that. We don't teach that. Those were Tom's words, not mine. We don't teach these things. Mm-hmm. So that, again, in a situation, Indiana didn't get out and run away. They never made their patented run, no matter what lineup they threw out there. You had seniors making freshman plays. You had freshmen making freshman plays. You had juniors making freshman plays. And when you pile that all up against a team that – hey, they're playing for something. Sure, everybody in this tournament's playing for something. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out for Indiana. They didn't execute when they needed to. And with a five-point lead with 2 minutes to go and Yogi Ferrell as your point guard, I would have signed up for that before Absolutely. That game started. And
you like your chances.
That game could have been killed off. But defensively, offensively, there were things there that, again, which I talked about accurately after the game, those can't happen because there is no more can happen.
No, it's done. I think you're right. There's just enough mistakes. And, you know, turnovers is the obvious thing that everybody points to when they think of mistakes, but it could be a rotation. You know, the three by Duncan Robinson stands out for that.
Yes.
The two turnovers in the last minute or so, one by Troy, one by OG Anunoby.
Yes.
You know, those are spots where, like you said, the ball ought to be in your senior point guard's hands. We had a couple missed free throws down the stretch there.
One of those by Yogi. Let's
Troy
be
had
fair.
A three-point play, didn't make the three-point play.
Yogi hit one of two.
Bucket. Yogi made one of two, and he's the best free throw shooter out there.
That's why I thought pressure was a part of
that. Yeah, you had a couple of them that just weren't quite made, and it was just enough mistakes. And the three-point ball, you know, I hate to say it bails you out, but it does give this team an advantage over other teams when it can hit them. But when it doesn't, of course, it takes all that back away, and now everything's much more difficult, and every mistake ends up getting amplified.
Indiana's pressure applied to other teams comes in the form of scoring.
Yeah.
And putting a lead up that makes the other team abandon what they want to do. When the biggest lead was five, it did not force Michigan to panic at any time right. and say, oh, what? You know what? We got to start chucking them up. I remember perfectly from the Ann Arbor game when Mike Tirico says during that run, Michigan, there are no six-point shots out here.
Exactly. Don't take the six-pointer.
But they did. They yeah. sucked right into it because Indiana kept scoring, kept scoring, and kept scoring.
No,
Indiana didn't keep
Let's be
scoring,
fair to Michigan scoring, on this scoring. One, too. You know, they played a much different game than they played against
they
us.
Had so they
got shell-shocked awfully quickly at home against Indiana. I don't know what their mentality was going into that game, but certainly in the middle of that first half, they didn't know what was hitting them in the face. It was different this game, and they clearly slowed the game down. They tried to make it more possession by possession. They didn't get wrapped up in getting up and down the floor quite that often. They played a better game by far than they did the first time around, but Indiana never really did, as you said, put that pressure on them, and a lot of that is their three-point shooting. They didn't take bad three-point shots. They didn't rush it.
They passed up some that
they passed
they
up some they yes. could have. They could I have mean, taken.
Max
they
Biel,
just they don't go in.
Right. Max Bielfeld had three turnovers just by catching the ball and traveling in the lane. Yep. Those weren't forced errors. Those were guys trying to do maybe a little too much in those situations. And you can point to everybody in that situation. It wasn't one guy that made it and it wasn't one guy that missed it. But in situational play, you've got to remember what you practice and what you train to do all year long. And remember, Indiana isn't been known as the stopper style of defense.
Right.
They couldn't stop Penn State down the stretch. And I understand they only have seven losses, and that happened a while ago. But in a game where you needed to take the any impetus out of the tournament committee's hands to have you drop in the seeding, mm-hmm. you had an opportunity and the opportunity didn't happen. What does it mean? It means not much, really. Four or five, you're the flop four, you're the flop five.
Are you wearing the white against Kentucky
yeah,
if you win the first game
the
or not?
Blue, or you're in Des Moines, that's a pretty good site to be, it looks yeah. like. So if you don't like the draw, that's fine, but the Hoosiers had an opportunity, Dave, to take that out. Michigan State went out and won the tournament. Must not be no yeah. big a deal. That's their fifth one.
We got to take
this before.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone. We're back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. IU loses 72-69 in their first game of the Big Ten tournament to the eighth seed Michigan, who went on and got beaten by Purdue. Michigan State ends up beating Purdue for the tournament title. Hoosiers with a 5 seed against Chattanooga, 7 o'clock on Thursday night. And, of course, we'll have all kinds of basketball for you here on WGCL all day, as you would expect, on Thursday and Friday. But we start tomorrow night, and the broadcast tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. And then, of course, 6:30, the tip-off for the first four in Michigan in one of those games. I can't remember if they're Tuesday or Wednesday, but
they're
Wednesday, in one of the first four games.
In is better than out,
right.
And beating us probably got them in and probably knocked us down a rail. That's if you're the last one in, then the handwriting's on the wall yeah. for all that.
333-2665 is a phone number. Let's bring in John.
Hello, John.
How you doing, John?
Happy March Madness, guy.
Absolutely right.
Hey, listen, I hope Indiana files this under you. You're never too old to learn, because it's not the end of the world, but they should. This is a game they should have won. They beat this team badly before. But as a fan, I don't like to see Yogi Ferrell, who's a first-team All-Big Ten point guard and a second All-American point guard, and he deserves both those accolades. With 30 seconds to go in a tie game, giving the ball up to a freshman non-starter and expecting that freshman to make a play somehow. That's Yogi's game to go win, and I hope that he learned his lesson. And because that's a game he should have had the ball at the end of the game and not given it up and did something with either make a basket, get fouled, or make a pass to somebody who's open underneath when he breaks down a defense. I was kind of disappointed to see him let go of the ball that early in the...
Well, I think that he... And if you want to give the criticism to all, I think you can, because I saw a lot of guys out there making some plays that they hadn't made all year or looked like they were in a nervous situation. And that was strange to see, because in a final, yeah, I could probably see that, because maybe that's a game a little bit deeper. Not a lot of these guys have any tournament experience besides really Yogi. And sometimes you think, John, too, hey, I'm just going to get it to him to relieve some pressure. Then we'll go into our second rotation out of it. I'll get it back late in the clock and do it. But you can't tell a kid that's got a career-high 13 who's making steals and layups all the time not to try and make a play. He shouldn't be on the court if you don't think he can make
OG's
a play.
Ball. I don't.
Well, I think he needs to take better care of the basketball. He has to know time and space continuum a little bit better.
They're all growing all year long. I mean, he's come a tremendously long way. But the next step is, just like Caleb Swanigan for Purdue, maybe don't take that three-pointer in the last 5 seconds.
And Purdue is fine with that.
They need a better shot out of it from somebody you'd want.
The turnover was at what time? It wasn't late in the clock either, too. It was like 12 or 13 seconds. So there was time to get something else out of it. It didn't have to be him going. But, again, a guy's flying. And if you play at Indiana University and you recruit at Indiana University, you got to be able to make plays in those situations. But in a perfect world, I'm with you, John. I would have liked to seen Yogi run what they run to always get him open, run a screen and roll, get Troy moving along the baseline, something else. But I think that goes back to what was the issue with that game. It didn't look like the Indiana, who had rattled off five convincing wins against everybody they had played, an offense that was dominant, whether it was at Iowa, at Illinois, or at home against Maryland. You didn't see that. It looked like nerves were bothering. That's my opinion. And I saw Zeislav pass-up shots. I saw Max Bielfeld traveling when there's nobody touching him or within 3 feet of him. Those aren't plays those kids were making throughout those times. When the going
was lethargic.
They looked, I don't know if...
Mentally lethargic, too. I just thought they were not ready to play, and there's no excuse to not being ready to play.
I don't know.
They never made their run, though. They only got up 5 points, 48-43
was it. They're on the boards. They're blocking shots. I don't know if they created as many turnovers as you'd like, because that's what they have to do on defense, because they're not just shutting you down.
Or they were confused that Michigan didn't fall down like they did at Ann Arbor, and they kept coming back at him and coming back at him. Because Walton didn't score. The Moritz kid, or the Wagner kid, the opera singer, that kid goes out and scores 13 points. The kid that hits the winning shot has made 1 3-pointer all year and taken 11 or whatever that was. And just all those things that happened, it wasn't like Walton had 28 and 12 and killed you.
Right.
It wasn't like Urban had 32. It was Michigan was doing lots of things.
You got held to 69 points.
And that was with Mark Donald being our best player.
I mean, it does.
And Michigan was a wobbling team coming into that. They
lost 7-9.
A lot of people were desperate. They had done nothing the last couple of games against anybody, and you knew that they were desperate. So it wasn't like that was going to be a big surprise. You need to come out and step on their throat and let them know they had no chance of winning that game. And there was never a point in that game where you got the idea that Indiana knew that they were going to take this team and put them away.
Yeah, it was 48-43.
Indiana's killer instinct comes at hitting 3 3-pointers in 4 possessions. That's how it does it. It comes down and
by
hits a couple
shots,
bombs.
Not missing shots.
Exactly. Hits a couple bombs, and all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, what just happened? And that didn't happen.
And then teams are trading turnovers, they're trading fouls, bad fouls at the end of the game as well, where guys are just they're late to it. And, John, that's how you get beat. You check off all those boxes we just rattled off, and that's how teams get beat, and that's how teams lose basketball games.
When they beat Wisconsin down here, and Nigel Hayes had the toughest shot, 3-point shot he'll probably ever hit in his entire life, it didn't matter. It made from a 4-point game to a 1-point game, Indiana still won, and nobody was talking about Nigel Hayes' great shot, except maybe Nigel Hayes and his teammates and his family or something like that. But when you leave a team a chance to win a game, leave the door open by turning the ball over, not hitting some free throws, and guys
you
not delivering, that's
up.
When you get in trouble. And I hope they learned their lesson. Because I still think they have a chance to go a long, long way if they play.
This team has struggled playing 40 minutes all year long. And it has.
And the other angles are tournament experience. There isn't a whole lot of that either.
That hasn't been a new thing. You know, it's had lulls at some point in time. And this one, I don't think that they didn't play hard. I don't think that they weren't mentally into it. I think there's a couple shots that didn't happen. I think they got a little loosey-goosey with the ball. And I think you're right about one thing, John. I think they didn't take advantage of some spots where they maybe could have knocked him out. And that's the killer instinct that they have to have, because it's all on the offensive side. So they have to have that ice water in their veins shooting the ball, or they're going to be in tight games. And we see what happens down the stretch. They can't come up with a big stop very often in a tight game down the stretch.
And the other part that killed them is, if you noticed, that Hartman had foul problems and they brought him back in around the 2-minute mark, and they went right to his man. He's been sitting, and Robinson busts him off the dribble. OG's got to reach in, 3-point play. But without Hartman those last 4 or 5 minutes, that's where Indiana got it back to another 5-point lead and looked like the ship was steadying. But it's just, again, one play not being set, not being in, locked in, as Tom likes to call it.
Right.
The play at the end of the game when Walton's coming around, Zeisloff sees Bielefeld slip and fall. Crean says after the game, we teach our guys don't leave the corner shooters. Do you leave Mr. 11 3-point shots for senior Travis Walton coming around the corner? Or do you sit there and say, oh, my gosh, coach says never leave this guy.
Right.
Well, I'm leaving to go get the senior. And it didn't work out because the kid hit an amazing shot. But if Bielefeld doesn't fall down there, who knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But that's just a reaction play. But, again, it's a senior falling down and the senior leaving his man. And the play before that was Ananobi. He leaves off their best three-point shooter, which you never do regardless of time.
Ananobi had two bad defensive plays and
six great ones.
And a turnover in the last 2 minutes
he
of the
did,
game, too.
And that's what was tough. But it was everybody. Like, yeah. John, you're still there, right? You mentioned Yogi missed a free throw. Yogi maybe
Troy. Should have made a defensive lap.
Troy missed his three-pointer.
Right.
Everybody was, and that's the good news, because usually it stinks when it comes down to one play and you got to point to the guy and be like, that's the GOAT. He did it. We all know.
This team has had those mental lapses and those mental errors all year long. Yeah. It's just they took care of them for a little while here and there. They toughed through them at some times, and then when they didn't, they got beat. And that's the Penn State's a great analogy for the way this game went.
Yeah, 8 of 27 at Minnesota, but Minnesota missed 14 free throws in that game.
Exactly.
So this has been out there. But the best thing you can do about it is they have a great slate in front of them.
Hopefully it results in a higher sense of urgency across the board.
What you can't do, I don't know how much one game teaches that experience. This isn't a team that's been through the wars. This isn't Van Fleet and Baker from Wichita State who have won 140 games at Wichita State and been deep in the NCAAs. That's not the case. But they have the opportunity. And John, I think they're correctable errors, aren't they? I mean, this team has shown out of 35 games, 30 of them, they've shot the three ball really good.
They are. It's not like they got beat by 15 points by a team and they didn't show up. They got beat on a last-second shot by a team that needed to make the tournament. We did them a favor, so now Michigan football owes us a game that they should give a ticket maybe next year, you know, something like that.
It never comes that way. You know that.
Tell Jim Harbaugh. He's got a different personality than the other coaches up there, so maybe he'll do us a favor next year and give us a game.
But the opportunity Indiana has moving forward, again, another three-point shot at the buzzer beats you if you don't have your responsibilities down pat, if you're not making free throws late. If your defensive assignments aren't correct, if your offensive confidence isn't
there. I think if you're a Hoosier fan right now, to me, what you say right now is, if we're in a really tight game late, are we going to make a couple stops to get us through it, or do we have to be absolutely perfect on offense? And the answer there is you better get a little of both, because this team struggles at the end if they're in a tight game. Now, if they get the chance to nuke somebody and put together those 3, 4, 5 possessions and shock them, then they can take them out of the game. But if they don't, you're worried at the end of the game.
His hands at the end of a game.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
Because I don't think they should fear any of the teams that they're playing. If they get to play Kentucky,
if Indiana fears any team, John, we should just fold the program up and go home.
And if they as much time as they put the ball in other people's hands for this team, then that should be for Yogi to have in
the
last 5 minutes.
The one interesting part of this game, and the interesting part of most tournament games coming up, will be in the last 5 minutes, and Dave and I talk about this all the time, John, is there isn't a whole lot of transition, not in elimination games. There is on a Tuesday night in January. There is on a Thursday in February. But when it's March,
it's
a 1-2 possession game, just like Michigan. They never got it outside of 5, so they were always in a two-possession game. they don't have to hurry. They don't have to get out of what they want to do. And when teams slow it down, you don't, unless Mark Donnell keeps passing the ball to OG, that's great. Right. Or Mark Donnell, excuse me. That's awesome. But there is no transition at that time of the game. So your half-court stuff has to be really good. It has to be, cuts have to be sharp.
And we know decisions have to be sharp. We know their half-court defense is all over the map, up and down. I mean, it's had great moments, it's had not so great moments. And that's the problem is, still on defense, you still see a mistake. A little overplay here, a little overplay there, and somebody's got a space he shouldn't have.
Yep. And it's all guys at play. You got to figure it out. And again, it's correctable on film. It's just you have to have the confidence and you have to have the technical nous to do it when the game's on the line.
And John, they don't have an easy first round, by the way.
No. This team has got a lot of seniors and stuff like that. But there's no room for error now. They have to really grit it out, and they have done that a lot this year for the most part. So I have a faith that they will probably turn us around because it's only a one game. Oh, we're talking about a one game slide, guys.
Still have that senior point guard. You like having that in your back pocket.
You do. But John, they could have alleviated a bunch of doubts by beating a really average Michigan team that lost 7-9 and had some confidence instead of having their coach having to drag the trophy into the room the other night to make sure, hey guys, remember we won something here. So that tells me that team might be a little fragile if he's got to go to opportunities like that.
He's had to take it a day by day all year long. I mean, he has.
He knows his team. He knows his team better than we do. Yeah. He knows whether to go to the whip or go to the whip twice. And that's exactly why he gets paid what he gets paid. And these one-game winning streaks, if they turn into two-game losing streaks, or one-game losing streaks turn into two-game losing streaks, this is the wrong time of year for that to happen.
Exactly right.
John, thanks for the phone call.
Always,
we appreciate
it. John's paying attention. Always
absolutely
does.
Absolutely. We got to take a quick break. Again, we will have tons and tons of NCAA tournament broadcasts for you here starting tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Is when the broadcast kicks off on WGCL. Tip-off just after 6:30, and we will be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Mentioned that we have the tournament here on WGCL, all of the tournament going on, but it also starts tomorrow night, 6 o'clock here on WGCL. Tip off at 6:30. And then you, Glass, will be here Wednesday because I will be out of town. But you starting early for In the Zone, 5 o'clock. Terry will be joining you, but you got a whole bunch going on in
we
an
do.
Hour and a half.
We got a great lineup for you on Wednesday night. All the NCAA tournament preview, Indiana basketball style. We'll have Zach Osterman, the beat writer for the Indianapolis Star, Mike Miller, the beat writer for the Herald Times, Inside Indiana's Alex McCarthy, and the one and only Hall of Famer Joe Smith. Everybody will be in Des Moines. Everybody's going to have an angle they bring to the table on the Hoosiers, the tournament, the game, the opponent, and we'll get you covered from soup to nuts, as the old-timers like to say. That'll be Wednesday from 5 to 6:30. Terry Stoltz and me will handle all of that for you, and then we'll send it right to Dayton for the second night of the first four. So will that be the second four? It doesn't matter.
No.
Well, it's two more games, and it's just the appetizer portion of the program. Full dinner begins noon on Thursday.
It's actually the first eight, trying to create four.
Sure.
But you know how it is.
Four games,
exactly.
Eight teams, lots of math there. All I know is we got a full slate that kicks off Thursday at noon, Friday at noon, Saturday at noon, and Sunday probably around what is that, 2 o'clock usually the first game? Maybe they go a little bit later.
On Sunday, I think they put a noon one on, like one
okay,
single
I think
one
it's
at noon.
One, yeah.
And then a 2:30, and then they
whatever
have some
it
more
is,
later.
We'll take you from the start all the way to the final. Scoreboard shows triple zeros each night. You will not miss anything. It's kind of like the NFL Red Zone channel, Dave. The game will have that's playing, and if the games get hot, they'll bump you in and out of them, so you don't miss anything. It's great if you're on the go. It's great if you're not hanging around a TV set, or if you perhaps have to work for a living. We can help you out with that. The link's on our webpage. You can listen to it on the internet as well at WGCLradio.com. Go there. We'll take you right to all the games. Boom. Way you go. It's perfect.
333-2665 is our phone number. Hoosiers bow out after one game against the Michigan Wolverines. And I'm not going to justify losing this game. You should have beat this team. You're better than this team. You've played better down the stretch than this team. I don't think there's any question about all that. I'm not too worried about the Big Ten tournament. Never have been. Would it be nice to win?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has it hindered Michigan State's development, has it?
Of course it would be. I wonder if this team couldn't use a few extra days for its shooting legs, considering how important the shooting is to this team. So am I going to cry about not playing Saturday and Sunday and back-to-back days after that? Not really. I'm anxious to see if they can hit the shooting button on Thursday night.
There's also a school of thought that says winning equals winning equals winning equals winning, and teams that win get into that bad habit as well. And the tough part is Indiana doesn't get another okay, oops, maybe.
Right,
you have to win now. You have to play well against Chattanooga. They forced turnovers, Dave. And Indiana showed against the team again. Michigan is not known for their lockdown, get up in your defense. They played better defense than they did at Ann Arbor. There's no doubt about it. But, again, those are things that Indiana has to fix. And the other thing that I don't know if you can fix, Dave, is how do you tell your team to be more confident? How do you tell them to go out there? I think what you have to do, and Tom has done this before, you just sit them in front of the film and say, here's 87 Zeislav threes in a row.
Yeah.
Here's Beal fell all 15 of his threes in a row. That's it.
You pointed out something that's important to remember, and we forgot about it for a while, that this team started off the season very fragile.
Yes.
It got into the middle of the season very fragile. And had moments down the stretch when it was very fragile and showed it again the other day. So you're exactly right. This is not a team that played with supreme confidence all year long. It did some things in the Big Ten that maybe we didn't expect, in that it did manage to find ways to win when we didn't think they would. But they're still a fragile mentality team. I think that's very clear.
And the results are great when they go great. But, again, you've got to find ways to grind them out. And it's a great learning lesson now, because there is no more learning lesson this year. This year is done with on the next loss. And hopefully you can avoid it as long as possible. And you can fix it because, again, when this team makes a couple in a row, it seems like then they all go in. Yeah. And if that's not the case, then you have to lean on Yogi Ferrell to take things over a little bit more. And I think they know that. And, I don't like looking back, and I've said this a lot the last couple weeks. I've said you got to look just to the next TV timeout. You got to look at that next 5 minutes, because no point in worrying about what happened with Michigan. No point in worrying what you did at Iowa. That's done with. If you're worried about that feeling or that accomplishment, tennis, whatever these people are called now, the UT mocks. I did a game with them the other year. You can only call them one mocks. Thing or the other. That's it. Just the mocks. You can't do anything else. They get mad at you. They yell at you. The point is, if they're not worried about what that's happening right now, and they're worried about geez or wow or great, well, those teams get beat, Dave. And they don't have a lot of postseason experience to lay back on. They won one game in the tournament last year. They beat Maryland. They beat Northwestern, and they lost to Maryland, and then were beaten by Wichita State. This year they got one game against Michigan and lost that. So that I have that as 2-2 in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yogi's really the only guy you can extrapolate any minutes out of, right? 0-1 this year, 1-2 last year.
Yes. Sorry.
Oh, wait, that's 1-3. Bad math.
Yes.
See? Right. Your alarm bells went off for the right reason. So, again, there's not a lot of angles to take saying, hey, remember when? No, it's got to be next shot we're making.
Right.
And after we make that shot, we're going to D up down here. And when the ball's on the floor, we're going to go get it. And when we get it back on the offense, we're going to break out. And when you're open on the wing, you're going to shoot the three and make it. And we're going to go right back down the court and do it again. That's the only way this team, in my opinion, is going to go. This can't be a lot of breakdown. We're going to run that play 77 more different times. That hasn't been what's been successful for them.
Look, it's exactly 1 month ago, February 14th. That Troy Williams didn't even score.
Right.
This is your junior, NBA prospect, third team, all Big Ten. So you have to remember that about this team. It played very well down the stretch when it needed to, but this was not one of those examples. Question, of course, now is, as you said, how do you carry it over into the tournament situation?
I don't think you can.
How
I think
does
you just
got to
chop
work?
It off. You got to chop it off, and it's just got to be forward. It's got to be the next thing in Indiana's schedule is playing to the under 16 timeout in Des Moines against the Mocs and playing their best basketball. I didn't think looking back would do them any good.
No,
I think
and it seems to have compartmentalized pretty darn well during the course of the season.
Yep.
I mean, it could have let the whole thing and tried, I think, to let the whole thing blow up after Duke, but didn't.
Shoot it. Shoot it and shoot it again. And if you don't, like they always say when they're winning, good shooters keep shooting until they start making.
Yeah.
So you got to say that when you're getting beat too. It's a mentality you have to have, because I don't think there's going to be one day where Indiana turns up the defense to an extra notch they haven't seen before.
Right.
I think they've found strategic lineups that are better defensively, and they have other lineups that are better offensively. I think that's it. I think the game of matchups they should have to be forced to Mox should be forced to match up with Hoosiers. Yeah. It shouldn't be the other way around. Indiana should go out there and lean all of their offensive firepower on them. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're taking wide open threes and they're not going in, I get it. It's not the end of the world. How many more do you take before you start driving in the hole, getting to the foul line? How many free throws did they shoot against Michigan? It didn't seem to me like a whole
21,
lot.
21, I believe.
Okay. Again, decent number, not great.
17 to 21.
Especially when you're missing as many threes as they're missing. So you get everybody involved. What is it? Again, I was joking with Joe Smith about that the morning before the tournament, and I heard the guys on TV say, well, it's going to take a big game from Yogi Ferrell. No, it's going to take a big game from Thomas Bryan inside. No. It's going to take balance. When Indiana routes people and plays really well, the other team doesn't know who to guard. Because you're getting attacked from every single angle.
Yeah.
So it's not about Yogi Ferrell hoisting 25 shots. It's not about feeding Bryant in the post. It's about getting Bryant in the post on good matchups.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Ferrell doing what he does, and you trust your senior point guard.
It's about being aggressive and being and sharing the ball. That's what this team does.
And scoring the ball. If there's only one guy scoring, guess what usually happens? Possession shrink.
Yeah.
Game gets tight. Not a lot of opportunities for all those other guys to contribute. Look at the Purdue game. You run out against one of the better defensive teams in basketball.
Now, we haven't seen Robert Johnson
in
a while. Rumors now that he could be coming back for the tournament. They held him out all the way through the Big Ten tournament.
It'll be a month.
It is a banged-up team all of a sudden. Blackman's out of the equation altogether, but Juwan Morgan played, but only played 8 minutes the other day.
You know why? He dove for a loose ball early in that game and didn't come back in.
I mean, he's sore. He's hurting.
Right.
So that's kind of touch and go to begin with. Hartman ended up with a wrist injury at one point in time. We don't know anything about that. Yogi Ferrell hit the deck a couple times pretty darn hard. It's certainly a team that's taken a few lumps here recently, but how much, if anything, does putting Robert Johnson back into the starting lineup give this team a spark, or does it? Or does it derail how they played towards the end of the season?
I think you can bring him off the bench, because if he's not ready to go, I don't know what – I don't think playing him 35 minutes is going to be – that's how you reintroduce him to it, because what I don't think will be happening in the next couple of days or since Friday, I don't think they've had any gung-ho big scrimmage practices. I wouldn't think at this time of the year that would be it. So how are you going to get Johnson back into shape? Little bursts here and there. I wouldn't think that would be a longer minutes thing, but if he's ready to go, Davey's what, 19 years old? He's a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
He should be in shape. He should be doing all kinds of other stuff, whether it's in the pool or anything else, to stay fit. But there's game fit. There's stop, start. There's sprint, jog. There's cut. There's that. Those are things that are very hard to replicate. So I think it's all hands on deck. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
There is no Saturday to be tired or injured if you lose on Thursday at 7:10. So you've got to have all hands on deck. And if Johnson can't go, I would hope that he has the maturity to say, I'm going to hurt this more than I'm going to help it.
Right.
So you didn't want me to go against Michigan. You give me an extra week. Great. That's a great strategy.
Yeah.
I thought it was
the 20th of February they got hurt.
And he's going to play on the 17th if they come back. So it's almost a full month. But the point is, if he can't go, 80% Robert Johnson, I don't know if that's what Indiana needs right now.
Well, needs, no. I think it needs some depth in that backcourt right now, because we've seen a couple games in a row here when Harrison Niego is out there and they give the ball to him and he's got to make a couple plays. Again, he's not ready to be contributing significant minutes for this team. They could use some pressure relief from Yogi Ferrell,
right.
No question.
That's 2 minutes.
And Zaisoft is playing twice as many minutes as he used to also, so he could use it also.
And, again, if it's a couple minutes here or there just to get them a blow,
if
that's what you've got to do, I think you do anything. I think you pull out every trick in the bag, because this is what you play for. This is why you win Big Ten championships, to get into the NCAA tournament and then make noise in the NCAA tournament.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. About the worst thing that this fragile, quote-unquote, team could have, in my opinion, is everybody in Hoosierland talking about a second-round matchup against Kentucky.
Amen.
How about the worst possible draw? And not because we don't want to play Kentucky. I'll play them all day long.
Right.
But they don't need to hear about that, because that's all anybody's going to be talking about. And guess what? Chattanooga's pretty good.
Well, They are in the Southern Conference. They do have a Billy Donovan disciple. The kid was a manager on the teams that won back-to-back national championships and then a grad assistant. Left for a couple years, came back, and I think the next 4 years when he was there, the team went to the Elite Eight. Yeah. So all he's seen is winning, winning, and more winning. It is year number one, and usually in year number one, you get the guys believing. No one's found out. Mm-hmm. No one, you don't like this habit or that. They don't know. They're just riding the wave. You see that a lot.
A lot of seniors and juniors that contribute for them.
Exactly.
Not a lot of height.
They got guys to help you turn the ball over a little bit. Indiana doesn't want to get into a turnover battle with them. But the question that I will pose, and I will pose against any opponent for the most part, maybe North Carolina and Kentucky will not fall into that category. A lot of teams struggle to score with Indiana. Indiana mm-hmm. must score the basketball to put pressure to get them out of what they want to do. But if the Mocs want to play a hot pace,
yeah,
you're going to turn it over a little bit. You're just going to have to be able to deal with that, but Indiana should be deep enough. Indiana has more talent, Dave. I don't think there's any argument about that. Common opponent, they both played, what, Kennesaw State this year. Indiana beat them 27, and the Mocs beat them by 12. So, again, that's such a slim margin. Illinois. It doesn't matter. Illinois, both teams beat them 3-0 against Illinois this year.
Yep.
The Mocs did beat them. Mocs' biggest win at Dayton, December 12th or 13th on Saturday afternoon, beating a Dayton team that was hovering around the rankings at that time. Dayton is a 7 seed in this tournament, to give you some historical perspective there. 29-5 tells me they're not used to losing too much. What do they won? Yeah. 13 in a row? It's a pretty big streak.
No, they've five.
Five in a row?
They
okay.
lost two of their last nine, it looks like, or eight rather. But still, that's
playing
more wins than losses.
Exactly. But again, the 12-5 myth, none of them happened last year, so before everybody goes out and does that.
Right.
Well, everybody say, well, that's the first time it's never happened. Well, that's a streak of one. And that's better. That's better than saying all four of them lost last year. It has nothing to do with
it. Is it interesting at all to you that three of the fives are Big Ten teams?
Not at all.
Maryland and Purdue
no,
also?
Because it tells you exactly what the NCAA selection committee thought of the Big Ten Conference this year.
Yeah.
There's not one team ahead of Indiana in the bracket as a 4-3, 2-1 that Indiana beat this year.
Yeah,
they lost at true. Michigan State by a lot. They lost at Duke by a lot. Who else did? Am I missing anybody? They didn't play Oklahoma. They didn't play.
I don't think so.
They didn't play Kansas.
Notre Dame's a 6. Wisconsin's a 7.
Iowa's a 7. That tells you what you need to know right there.
Yeah.
Indiana's two best conference wins were against Iowa, and they're seated comfortably ahead of them. Tells you what you need to know, but it also tells you that Michigan State not getting a number one seed and Indiana being a 5 tells you what the tournament committee thought of the Big Ten's regular season schedule.
Yep.
That's what it thought. And the other thing, Hoosier fans have to remember that are angry, and you can be angry. It's America. You can do anything you want. Maui counts.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. It's the season they evaluate, not the Big Ten season, not the Big Ten tournament. They evaluate the entire season.
The only thing about that is I still can't get a bead on when they're going to take into consideration the end of the season and not the end of the season.
They stopped doing
it. I like seeing the entire season taken into consideration because we talk about this a lot in football. You play an entire season.
For a reason.
Why wouldn't you judge the entire season?
Why wouldn't it count? Amen.
Why would you weight it so heavily on the end of the season?
But
I don't think
you can't say just because – this helps your argument that you should ignore losing.
No,
Indiana has 3 losses to worse than 100 ranked teams.
Yeah.
Teams 100 or plus.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I haven't gone through all the ones ahead of them, but if another team has that on their resume, you have to go in and see it.
And one statistic I saw was there were only 2 Big Ten teams with a non-conference out of schedule, strength of schedule, that was over 200, meaning better than 200. They're all 200 or worse, otherwise out of conference.
And
so
that tells
Big Ten
you
in general wasn't playing great schedules outside.
Indiana beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a 6 seed. They didn't jump Indiana.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. Notre Dame also beat Carolina during the year. That's what happened. But you have to remember, when you lose at Penn State, and again, you want to point to Iowa. Iowa's not helping this argument, is my point. The tournament selection people have shown you this by making them a 7 seed.
Well, it makes you.
They haven't helped your
point.
Yeah,
it makes you up to a 5.
It doesn't help.
But you don't have any other great wins
yes.
that you can
see. If Iowa would have stayed in the top 10 the whole year, and those would have been their only 2 losses, that would have helped Indiana's
cause. No, you got to win over a 6. You got to win over a pair of 5s. You got to win over a 7. I mean, you've got decent wins that get you up to 5.
That's right.
But you're right. There's a lot of teams up there that, you know, it's hard to say that
and the
you
other
need to be
point
ahead of
was,
all of these other teams.
And again, you had a chance as the number one seed in your conference tournament to pad that stat of winning more games and proving that you were higher up the ladder. That should be nothing to this team. The team doesn't play the seed line. They tell us they don't play the record of the teams they play when they go on the road to Illinois and Iowa and Penn State. So that's fine. That's not going to bother them a bit. But what has to bother them is execution. And what has to bother them is the finality of tournament knockout basketball, Dave. You saw it a little bit, in my opinion, on that game against Michigan on Friday. It got a little nervy. And that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they've gotten that out of their system, because you know what the Mocs are playing with? House money. They could care less.
Exactly.
Nobody's expecting them to win. Nobody's expecting them to be in the game. Indiana's highfalutin offense, one of the best, most efficient in the country. And I agree with that. I agree with those Mock fans and that think they shouldn't win. They're right.
They're going to hear about Indiana, Kentucky for the next 5 days.
Exactly
also.
Right. And Calipari's all mad, so he's drawing all the attention to him to get it away from his players, just like he always does. He's on every talk show that'll have him on, bemoaning his seed because he had issues. And a great example too is the SEC and the Big 12 and the Big Ten. The tournament committee told you exactly what they thought. Texas A&M was the regular season champion. They were a 3, and Kentucky's a tournament champion. They're a 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe Kentucky shouldn't lose to 15 and 17 UCLA.
Exactly.
Those are bad losses. Bad losses don't move you up the line, John. You got to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it goes, because you can't just pick and choose what fits the argument on these. And again, when you're Indiana, when you're Kentucky, and I'm not comparing this, Calipari is doing what Calipari does every year. This is normal for him. If he's not number one overall seed, he's mad every year. So that's great. He'll play the game and win it.
The only seeding issue that I had wasn't even Indiana, it was Michigan State. I get they didn't win the Big Ten.
Lost at home to Nebraska, Dave. That's a bad loss.
That's one of them.
It's a bad loss.
But certainly the way they've played in the second
half of the
season.
Beat
Kansas, had a very nice non-conference. Look, to me, especially when you talk about not having Valentine for a few games, they didn't take it on the chin because of that. But
nope, but they were 4.
Yeah.
Oh, they were. They were the first number 2. So they were 4A or whatever you want to call it. Oregon had a monster year. They had a monster year versus the top 50.
And Oregon played a great schedule.
You got that didn't hurt at all.
You got 2 ACC teams in there.
UVA second in the RPI.
They
lost to Carolina. Lost to Carolina, who's the number 1. Mm-hmm. Kansas. There are many hairs to split, and that's what happens. That's when you have to get into who did you beat where?
Right.
How did you beat? Did you lose at home to anybody you shouldn't have? Because when you're that evenly matched, that Nebraska loss is magnified.
Is Indiana in the hardest bracket, the hardest region?
It
is tough.
It is tough. On paper, you're right. It is tough. I think
West Virginia, Wisconsin, Xavier, your bottom top 4 seeds.
Absolutely.
On
and
the bottom side.
And the South is tough, and the West is everybody thinks the West is easy because you don't stay up late and watch Oregon and Utah play. You might not want to sleep on those teams.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. Oregon won the they beat in the conference championship game by about 165 points. They won
Utah.
Number
Utah.
3 team got beat 30. Well, it probably wasn't that bad, but it was close. So don't sleep on those. We'll get through the bracket a little bit on Wednesday, but since you're not going to be here, you have any rash predictions in the last 25 seconds?
Rash predictions? I will go with Kansas overall. They're the overall number 1. I don't know that's exactly why, but
hard to ignore.
You know what? It's the last couple of years, there hasn't been that one team that says it's got to be them, doesn't it?
Besides that Kentucky team last year, and nobody likes Kentucky.
And they didn't like it. Nope. hey, we got to take off, folks. Again, Glass and team will be back on Wednesday, 5 o'clock on Wednesday. So tune in then, and we will talk to you later. You've been in the zone.